Well, speaking of a well-calculated attack, Mr. Korb, in 2011, the Council of American Islamic Relations reported that an inner core of at least 37 groups whose primary purpose is to promote prejudice and hatred against Islam enjoyed an access to over $119 million in revenue between 2008 and 2011. What do you make of that?
Well, again, I said you do have these groups. We have still have anti-Semitic groups. We had a group of white supremacists blow up a synagogue in Kansas City here recently. We had Timothy McVeigh, who was a member of these hate groups, blow up the federal building in Oklahoma City that killed 169 people. So yes, you do have this. But when President Obama came in, he reached out to the Muslim world. Go back and look at the two speeches he gave when he first came in to show that this was wrong. And these fringe groups exist. We have freedom of speech.
But Mr. Korb, aren't these really fringe groups, considering you have people like Newt Gingrich and Michelle Bachmann within the U.S., so to speak? Fox News as a whole is a monument to Islamophobia, according to many people.
Well, again, there's no doubt about that. It's interesting you mentioned Newt Gingrich and Michelle Bachmann. They got no place when they ran for president because people rejected that type of thing. And as I mentioned, even President Bush, who I happen to think was wrong to go into Iraq, he didn't do it for anti-Muslim. He thought it was weapons of mass destruction. But the fact of the matter is he never used that term, radical jihad. He was very, very careful, and so has Obama. And that's what leadership is about. And fortunately, these hate groups have existed. You know, as I say, we've had the Ku Klux Klan in this country that, you know, turned on, African Americans. So, yeah, you have these groups. But the thing is, you got to control them, and your leaders have to speak out to show that this is wrong.
All right. Gentlemen, hold on to your thoughts. We're going to cross over to our social media pages and see what our viewers are saying about this. Take a listen.
To clamp down on freedom at home and to keep their population in perpetual fear so as to divert their attention from their failed economic and social policies. In short, they use Russia and Islam as a scapegoat. I think that Islamophobia is one of the many tools that the West is using as a means of justifying their new laws that they want to impose on the Western population. First, they import millions of Muslims into Europe. Then they instigate hatred between Muslims and the native European populations. Get as many Muslims in your country as you can. Have your national press spread lies about them to create hatred amongst the people. Stage false flag events, etc. Most are falling for it. So it's up to us to keep posting facts and hopefully wake more and more people up. This is an ideological conflict. The West represents the capitalist ideology, and it will go at any length to destroy any ideology which emerges to restrain it. It teaches more is less, whereas religion teaches us to be happy and to be content with what we have. Capitalists know that as long as there is religion on the earth, their ideology will not be universally accepted. Attacks on Islam is just another way to destroy the ideology that Islam teaches. The ideology of Islam is deeply rooted with sharing. I am a Catholic. I'm against Islamophobia, but you have to explain to the West that Saudi Arabia and Wahhabism is a cancer. The root cause of Islamophobia is oil in Muslim countries and the West's geopolitical agenda to steal and destroy those countries. It's a sad fact that too many of us in the West rely too much on our media, allowing others to do the thinking for us. We're always quick to place blame on the Islamic faith for the negative behavior of others rather than taking the time to do our own research into its roots and core truths, and it's precisely why we have this clash of cultures and why Islam is so unfairly maligned and misunderstood in the West.
All right, those were some of the comments and thoughts being posted by our viewers on our social media networking sites. Professor Izzadi, I'd like to get back to you on a point that Mr. Korb made earlier in his answer, where he said Muslim leaders need to speak up more. against extremism in Islam and violence as far as Islam is concerned. How would you respond to that? Have Muslim leaders done enough? And is it their responsibility to come out and present clarifications every time something happens, where many have pointed out that these are just the policies of the West that are backfiring?
Well, I think there is something wrong with this picture, that we have someone like President Bush that, as was correctly said, does not use the term jihadist or radical jihadists, but at the same time invades two Muslim countries and kills tens of thousands of Muslims for no reason. And then we in the Muslim world are supposed to very quickly denounce all forms of violence when we actually know that a lot of these extremist groups and terrorist groups originate from the intelligence communities. We haven't forgotten that the United States CIA funded the groups that eventually became the Al-Qaeda organization. We haven't forgotten that in order to overthrow the Assad government, Western intelligence agencies just gave money and support to anybody who was willing to fight against Assad, and that eventually became ISIS. So what we are seeing are very brutal policies that have no respect for human life and have no respect for dignity of people in this part of the world. They feel at ease at bombing ordinary citizens. President Obama, unlike Bush, has used drones many, many more times. So when you compare Obama and Bush, you realize that Obama is actually doing much, much worse than Bush. And when we live in such a situation, then you have some young person that is dissatisfied with this setting and is taught wrong ideas by preachers that we don't know where they came from, and then they carry out some terrorist activities, and then we in the Muslim world are expected to quickly denounce it. Yes, these types of activities, terrorist activities, need to be denounced, but at the same time, the policies of the US government and the British government and the French government that are causing the death and destruction in the Muslim world, they have to be also denounced. And in order to be fair, in fact, those policies and those war criminals that are ruling these Western countries have to be denounced more because they're killing more people. We had in the demonstration that you saw after the attack on that French magazine. You had the president of France, Hollande, and then you had the president of Mali that was sort of put into power by the French government because the French government decided to attack Mali and kill a lot of people. And now you have these individuals along with Bibi Netanyahu marching for peace and opposing terrorism. Netanyahu is the person that killed a couple of thousand Palestinians just a few months earlier without any regard for human dignity. So when you see this type of hypocrisy and the type of on Western governments and Western leaders, you just cannot be in line with what they demand. You have to realize that what they are doing and the policies that they are carrying is actually causing a lot of these difficulties.
Well, speaking of hypocrisy, Mr. Korb, I'm sure you've heard of it too. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has written a letter to the youth in the West, particularly in Europe and North America, where he has told them to not allow the West, to introduce its own recruited terrorists to represent Islam. He even goes further and says, many attempts have been made in the past two decades, almost since the disintegration of the Soviet Union, to place this great religion, which is Islam, in the seat of a horrifying enemy. The provocation of a feeling of horror and hatred and its utilization has unfortunately a long record in the political history of the West. What would you say to that?
Well, again, I would say, you know, for example, when the United States went into Afghanistan, there were Muslim countries, including Iran, that supported us. Back in the 70s, we worked with Muslims to get the Soviet Union out. And the aid to the rebels against Assad has primarily come from Muslim countries like Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and Qatar. It's not the United States. So this is not a war with the Muslim world. It's a war with violent extremists who use these horrible methods to kill people for no good reason. Unfortunately, some of them do refer. In other words, if you look at what happened in Paris before they killed those people in the magazine, they announced God is great, and basically that's the problem. Our leaders are trying to, control this, and I think it's important. We're not looking for an enemy. In fact, President Obama has been criticized for not doing enough. If you listen to his speech the other night, he never mentioned anything about the Muslim world. And he mentioned basically that the United States can't solve these problems, doesn't want to solve them, and is concerned about the security of its people and the people in Europe. So this whole idea that somehow started with Muslims, no, the attack came from Afghanistan. That's why we went there with the help, as I say, including Iran.
All right. Professor Izzadi, I'll give you 1 minute to respond.
Yes, I think putting a number of governments like the Saudi government or the Qatari government that are more or less in power because of the support that United States and a number of European governments give them, presenting them as voices of the Muslim world, I think is not accurate. A lot of dislike that you have within the Muslim world is because these governments do not represent Muslims. They represent the countries that have been supporting them and have brought them into power. So when we talk about the Muslim world, we need to see what the general public feels. And when you refer to public opinion polls, including public opinion polls that are done by American companies like Gallup or Pew, you will see that there is an enormous dissatisfaction with the policies of the United States and a number of European countries. And
okay, I'm going to stop you there, Professor Izzadi. I'm afraid we've run out of time. That was Professor Fuad Izzadi with the University of Tehran, joining us from studios in Tehran. And joining us from Washington is a former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense, Lawrence Korb. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us in this edition of The Debate. From me and the entire team here in Tehran, it's goodbye.